This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 9th November 2018. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 8th of November 2018, which this week has been edited by Sue Frayne, Anne Brew, Pat Whitfield and Jane Thomas. Our readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
Pete John Richards.
Hello.
And Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are parking poll tax, no one at the civic roadshow, and remembrance at the cathedral. So we will start with the story behind the first headline.
Parking poll tax. Residents in Winchester are facing a rise in the amount they pay to park outside their homes after transport chiefs approved an increase in annual fees, dubbed a poll tax on parking. Residential parking charges will rise by as much as 246% across Hampshire after the County Council gave the go-ahead. Civic chiefs say the residential parking scheme, which aims to help residents find a place to park near their home, is costly to develop, implement, administer and enforce. So a new minimum fee has been approved. This new increased charge will see Winchester residents with a car paying £50 a year more than double their current £22 fee, although it would be below the 64 national average. Currently, the City Council administers the scheme on behalf of Hampshire County Council. The City Council is believed to be deciding next month whether it will continue operating the service or whether it will be handed back to the County Council. The authority says the increase will mean the service is operated on a full cost recovery basis and not subsidised by the district's on-street parking accounts, which are partly made up of cash from fines and tickets. It also says that residents who currently don't have to pay for a permit, as they were living in zones before they were introduced, will now have to cough up. However, the move has been criticised by Liberal Democrats City County Councillor Martin Todd, who said there are better ways of plugging council finances. A whole number of residents have been asked to vote on extended parking control zones on the basis it costs £22. I think there's been a breach of trust here. The problem of doing it on the first permit, it doesn't take any account of how well off someone is. It's a poll tax on parking. Following the decision, Councillor Rob Humby, Winchester City Council's deputy leader and Hampshire's transport chief, defended the move. We know from what Hampshire residents have told us that a well-maintained highway network is a priority for them, and so we need to ensure that as much resource as possible goes into this. Making sure parking places are maintained with signs and lines, that appropriate traffic orders are put in place, and where waiting restrictions are imposed, that these are effectively managed, all come at a cost, and this is currently taking resource away from essential highways maintenance. The recommendations I've agreed mean that these costs can be recovered as changes are phased in. If the City Council decided to continue running the service, any surplus income would be split between the county and the city. The plans will come into force in April next year.
No one at the civic roadshow. A civic scheme which aimed to increase resident participation in meetings has been criticised after not a single villager turned up. Over the past year, Winchester City Council has been holding every other cabinet meeting in a different location around the district. The decision was taken by Cabinet last November to reflect the diversity and geographic scope of the district, which covers a wide area of central Hampshire. It was hoped that it would ensure the meetings were more accessible to residents and encourage people to interact more closely with their elected representatives. However, at last Wednesday's meeting in South Wanston Village Hall, the public gallery only included the opposition councillors and former Labour City Councillor Patrick Davies. Mr. Davies said, "It doesn't work. All the items on the agenda relate to Central Winchester. There are no local people present." He was supported by Lib Dem councillors Lucille Thompson and Eleanor Bell. Councillor Thompson said, "When we have an agenda, as we have today, it does seem bizarre we are here. There's nobody here from South Wanston." Councillor Bell added, "I would also like to echo what Patrick Davies and Councillor Thomas have just said. I understand the point. It's having the opposite effect, making it more difficult for people to get here." However, Council Leader Councillor Caroline Horrill defended the project. She said, "We have made the commitment to do every other meeting at a different location around the district. We are trying to be as open as possible." Finance portfolio holder Councillor Guy Ashton added, "People all over the district pay council tax."
Remembrance at the Cathedral. Winchester Cathedral unveiled two new memorials as part of its remembrance commemorations. Some 2018 woolen poppies spanning its railings honour the centenary of the end of the First World War. Most of the knitters are from the Winchester area and started work earlier this week. It was kick-started by the women's section of the Royal British Legion and was helped by Winchester Women Reborn and will remain until November the 19th. The second memorial is the Garden of Remembrance, officially opened on Tuesday. It was blessed by Canon Brian Rees, who said, "We should remember that their light continues to shine through everything we take for granted." The Mayor, Frank Pearson, planted a cross in the garden. Chairman of the Royal British Legion branch, Derek Green, and Chair of the Women's section, Sue Butcher, also planted their crosses. This was followed by the last post. And this article is accompanied by a very poignant photograph. In the background is the magnificent cathedral, and the Mayor is approaching the war memorial with his cross. And just to say that I've also seen the knitted poppies on the railings. They look stunning.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements, which will be followed by Christian comment. Barclay, Donald John Barclay, at home. Dunn, Janine Dunn, aged 58. Elmer, Jean Marjorie Elmer, on the 26th of October at St Catherine's View Care Home, aged 85. Henstridge, Iris Ann Henstridge, nay Hendy, on the 29th of October at Valley Lodge Care Home, Chandler's Ford, aged 82. Higgins, James Michael Higgins, known as Jim, on the 19th of October, aged 98. James, Gerald James, at home on the 28th of October, aged 84. Mansell, Roy, Douglas Roy Mansell, on the 26th of October, aged 95. Marshall, Robert Marshall, known as Bob, on the 25th of October, aged 82. Rose, Katie Rose, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, Winchester, on the 28th of October.
Christian comment, remembering well. In 1916, the Reverend David Railton, a priest from Folkestone, volunteered to serve as an army chaplain. He shared in the sufferings of the troops in French Flanders and received the Military Cross for saving lives under heavy fire. One day he came upon a grave marked with a rough wooden cross and the words, "An unknown British soldier of the Black Watch." He realised that there would be another suffering for many families of the fallen. They would never know where they were buried. Railton became determined that all those who had died should be remembered and have a place to be remembered. He wrote to the former Bishop of Winchester, Herbert Ryle, now Dean of Westminster Abbey, "Could the unknown soldier be buried there, among the kings of England?" Ryle supported him, as did the Prime Minister. On the 7th of November 1920, working parties were dispatched to six battlefields, where six bodies were exhumed, placed in plain coffins, and moved with military honours to the chapel at St. Paul's. There, in the darkness, Brigadier General Wyatt, the British commander, laid his hand on one coffin. This unknown warrior was drawn in procession on the 11th of November to the new cenotaph and reburied in Westminster Abbey later that day. To the authorities' surprise, 1.25 million people visited the abbey in the following weeks. The grave became the most visited in the world. David Railton knew that there was such a thing as remembering well. Remembering well is truthful. It honours the reality of the past. Remembering well is necessary for healing and reconciliation, as a bridge between adversaries. Remembering well is necessary for hope, for learning to seek a better future. No remembering is easy. That of 1919 and 1920 was not easy. Ours is not easy. No part of it is easy. The past is traumatic. When we consider our own experiences and those of our communities, and indeed those of the communities we counted as our enemies, healing and reconciliation are not easy. Learning is not easy because it is so easy to reflect only on superficially and to enter false hopes, to hope for a fantasy. When we think of false hopes, we might think of the fantasy peace, of endless compromise, where it is never necessary to stand up for what is right. And we might think that events of the last 100 years show us that is indeed a fantasy. The attempt to remember well is an act of faith, and only by grace can it be fulfilled. By grace, we can place our own experiences and those of our communities in the context of God's good purposes for his world. By grace, we know that in God's good time, he will bring in the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of peace, of safety, and of the reconciling love, which is able to overcome all hatred and division. And this is from the Reverend Philip Crinks, priest in charge of St. Faith's Parish at St. Cross in Winchester.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. By emailing letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk. That's letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk. Or by writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL.
We now start the letters, and the first one which is entitled Political Goals, is from Councillor Lisa Griffiths. She's the portfolio holder for health and well-being, amongst other things. Sir, those who continue to oppose the new sport and leisure park seem to want to have their cake and eat it. At the planning committee meeting that gave permission, objections were raised yet again about the size of the sports hall and the carbon footprint of the new building by the same people. Yet there is complete contradiction between wanting a bigger sports hall and also a smaller carbon footprint. An even bigger hall would lead to a bigger carbon footprint. The hall we have designed means a smaller carbon footprint. Furthermore, it leaves more room for outdoor activities in the park. It'll save money. And Sport England advised us that it will be more than adequate to meet the district's needs, which is why we proposed it. Either those who oppose can't put together a coherent argument, or they do realise what they are saying, but would rather try to score political goals than make any sense. I leave it up to the good people of Winchester to decide. And that's from Councillor Lisa Griffiths, portfolio holder for health and well-being, ward councillor for Alsford and Itchen Valley, Appledown Close, Alsford.
Now another letter on the same subject. This is written by Simon Lever and is headed Get On With It, or alternatively Get On With It, depending on your point of view. Sir, there has been much debate, discussion, cooperation, agreement, disagreement, and ultimately the planning committee approval with a 6-1 to proceed with the sports centre. There seems to be a general consensus that the concept is agreeable, addressing the needs and wants of the community. I can only suggest that all concerned and involved work together in positive harmony and essentially get on with it. Health and well-being is a positive element and should be viewed as such by all who take advantage of using this fabulous sports centre, which I understand is to have a coffee bar for members to meet and engage in conversation. Regardless of politics, I wish to thank the councillors for your persistence and enthusiasm for investing the time, energy and indeed maintaining an open dialogue with all those who wish to discuss this vital project. That's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
This is a letter from Martin Halfpenny, Roman Road, King's Barton, Winchester, and it's headed Unearthed. Surely Judith Martin cannot use Professor Martin Biddle's 1968 opinion on unearthing important remains as a reason to ignore his present view on how to safeguard Winchester's archaeology. Letters, November the 1st. To dig or not to dig at Silver Hill might well be the question, but Professor Biddle wouldn't be much of an expert if he hadn't changed his mind at least several times on this topic in 50 years. I generally enjoy reading Judith's letters, but last week's probably needn't be unearthed again either.
This one is entitled Canal, Not River, and it's from Gary Honey. Sir, the photograph featured on the front page of your property section last week was almost identical to one used 2 weeks ago. It's a very attractive view of Winchester College playing fields looking north from a bridge on Garnier Road. However, neither picture was correctly captioned. The waterway shown is not the River Itchen, but the Itchen Navigation, a man-made canal fed by the waters of the River Itchen. Itchen Navigation Heritage can explain the history of this canal and its role in transporting wool to the coast and coal to the town, but it is definitely a canal and not a river. Please ensure your sub-editors appreciate the difference. I'm sure Belgarum does. That's from Gary Honey, Northbrook Avenue, Winchester.
The next letter is written by Chris Polish and it's headed Bid Future, Bid standing for Business Improvement District. Sir, the departure of the only recently appointed CEO of Bid is a good time to call a halt to the whole charade. In the last bid election, only 40.5% of businesses eligible to do so voted. 39 votes, I have this from a Freedom of Information request, were cast by Winchester City Council itself, who voted on behalf of its various hereditaments around the city. Is that, you know, hereditaments? I think it is. Hereditaments around the city. Yes, really. There are instances around the country where council-owned toilets vote for bid with the council's backing. Unless you want to spend a whole lot of time campaigning, difficult to do when you have a business to run, it is very difficult to mount concerted opposition when the bid vote comes around. But if you care to join the Facebook page Against Bid, you will see that hundreds of business owners around the country are fed up with this idiotic system where councils abdicate responsibility and force yet another tax on local businesses. At this time in particular, when shops are closing left, right and centre, it is extremely galling to receive the bid bill. A large part of the money paid over to bids is used up in paying the staff. These people, with nothing really to do, have to come up with initiatives to justify their existence. The rest is spent on things like monitoring footfall. They have discovered that the high street is much busier than the rest of town. Or getting involved in trendy schemes that have no real impact. The various people I've been in touch with at Bid are quite charming but have absolutely no experience of coal-face business. Like others who leech off the many quangos we have in the UK, they happily draw their salary for doing what amounts to very little. If Bid does not consign itself to the rubbish bin, can I suggest that the council should abstain from voting in bid elections, that the bid should seek to appoint a retired business person, not a bid junkie, to lead it? The council should appoint an official no campaign, giving it the necessary data to facilitate an information campaign by those who oppose Bid. And that is written by Chris Polesh, FRSA MEd TESOL, Director, English naturally, City Business Centre, Hyde Street, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Karen Barrett, and the heading is Political Move. Sir, readers may be slightly confused by James Anderson's reference to me, letters November the 1st, as a Lib Dem cum Labour politician. I have not been a politician since August 2010, when I left Winchester City Council to care for my husband, who had terminal cancer. I had already resigned from the Lib Dems the day after they opted to join the Tories in coalition. I feared they would abandon the policies on which we'd campaigned. Sadly, they subsequently supported the raising of tuition fees, the disastrous Health and Social Care Act 2012, privatisation of the Royal Mail, etc. I rejoined the Labour Party in 2015 after Jeremy Corbyn was elected leader. In my recent column in the other publication mentioned by Mr. Anderson, I expressed concern about a Tory-designed Brexit. To avoid further confusion, I would point out that regardless of its historic meaning, the term Tories is generally accepted these days to mean members and supporters of the Conservative and Unionist Party. Furthermore, the actual definition of prejudice is preconceived opinion not based on reason or actual experience. My opposition to our current government is based on listening to first-hand accounts of the devastating impact austerity policies are having on the disabled, low-paid and public sector workers struggling to keep our essential services going. Finally, I sincerely hope having a dig at the Tories does not become a criminal offence, where socialists like me end up in the dock. joke. Prisons are already overcrowded and chronically underfunded. Karen Barrett, Barron Avenue, Full Flood, Winchester.
Tea Party is the title of a letter from Valerie Roberts. Sir, read last week's letters page on loneliness. Twyford has TOTs, that's Tea on Tuesday, for the over 50s at the Sports Club, Queen Street, on Tuesdays from 2pm to 4pm. We have snooker, scrabble, jigsaws, craftwork, almost anything goes, and tea and delicious cake at 3pm. This Saturday we have a remembrance party at 2pm for all ages. All welcome. Valerie Roberts, Hazley Road, Twyford.
Next letter, written by Penny and Mark Smith, is headed, Well done, round table for fireworks, sir. Huge congratulations and thanks to Winchester Roundtable and your army of volunteers for putting on yet another amazing annual event. As always, the evening was superbly organised, which meant thousands of people had a great evening out while supporting so many local charities via ticket sales. It was a spectacular display from the outset. The wonderful array of fireworks set to music were outstanding. We had friends join us from Cheshire, and both our children came home from London for this special event, which has been very close to our hearts for many years. Thank you to you all for your incredibly hard work. I hope that you can now all enjoy a well-earned rest. It's written by Penny and Mark Smith, Queen Street, Twyford.
Now we have the items of historical interest, and we have them from 200, 100, 50 and 25 years ago.
200 years ago, Monday, November the 9th, 1818. On Tuesday last, the HH Cup was run on Abbotstone Down, near Alsford, for which 7 horses started. Each horse carried 12 stone, and although 4 horses were withdrawn after the first heat, there was some good sport, and the race was well contested. From the weather proving so fine, the down was crowded with an unusual number of horsemen, carriages, and spectators.
100 years ago, Saturday, November the 9th, 1918. A novel but deeply moving incident to those who happened to be spectators occurred at Winchester Cathedral following the morning service on Wednesday. Thousands of American troops have been shown round the cathedral from time to time in the course of the past few months, and on Wednesday morning a black battalion attached to the USA came to the cathedral for a similar purpose. The battalion was some 700 strong, and accompanied by band and buglers. In the course of some explanatory remarks, it was mentioned by the vergers that the cathedral was built in the shape of a cross, and following this, the troops proceeded to take up a formation which gave the semblance of a black cross.
50 years ago, Saturday, November the 9th, 1968. Some car parking charges in Winchester may well have to rise if an expected deficit on car parking of between £12,000 and £13,000 for 1969-70 is to be wiped out. Last month, Winchester City Council decided to put up the cost of a season ticket for the Guildhall car park to £24 and banned some season ticket holders from the Central, Middlebrook Street, Temporary and Jewry Street car parks to take effect from January the 1st. The Traffic Management Working Party were asked to bring forward suggestions to the November meeting for revising charges in order to clear the expected deficit. The report suggested increases from next April the 1st, but on a scale of charges designed to drive all-day parkers into car parks outside the central area. This report was accepted in broad outline by the council on Wednesday evening, and they asked for definite proposals to be brought before them next month. In the meantime, the proposed increases are being sent to the Department of Economic Affairs in accordance with the early warning procedure.
25 years ago, Friday, November the 5th, 1993. The former Victoria Hospital site at Alsford Road, Winchester, should be used for the development of social housing, according to the leader of a homeless housing project. John Maron, manager of the Victoria Hospital Housing Project, which currently provides accommodation for 23 people in a former nurse's home, said low-cost homes and a hostel for the homeless would be an ideal use for the area. Wessex Regional Health Authority is to sell the site as it is considered surplus to health requirements. But Winchester City Council planners are determined to prevent complete clearance and redevelopment of the site and want to retain or convert buildings that are in reasonable condition. At a meeting last Friday, the planning committee agreed a draft planning statement which will limit the scope of development for the purchaser.
And now we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment,
which is entitled "Council Connecting with the Public." Winchester City Council could be applauded for its efforts to take democracy out into the district. Alternate cabinet meetings are being held in places such as Whiteley, Alsford and South Wanston. The aim is to connect local decision-making to the whole of its area, which stretches from north of Mitchell Dever to the edge of Portsmouth. After all, the council taxpayers do not all live in Winchester. The only snag is that few members of the public are attending. At the cabinet last Wednesday, the only people in the audience at South Wanston Village Hall were the usual Lib Dem city councillors and ex-Labour city councillor Patrick Davies. No villagers were there. The irony is that there were probably fewer people in the audience than if the meeting had been held in the usual place, Winchester Guildhall. 4 o'clock in the afternoon in a village poorly served by public transport is not the best time or place. At the very best, some thought should be given to holding meetings in places when there is something on the agenda that will attract local residents. Frankly, public money could be better spent by better promoting the meetings at the Guildhall. It is in the heart of the city and a stone's throw from the bus station. These road shows are a nice idea, but the idea isn't working.
Just a couple of announcements. Lighting up times, the sun is rising in the morning around about 7:15 in the morning and setting around about 4:25 in the afternoons. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have any problem with the recording you have received from us, please telephone Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. That's 01962 711 998. We now move on to items of general news interest.
Yes, and the first item is headed Winchester Church's Night Shelter Supporters Evening and AGM. Join Winchester Church's Night Shelter for its annual Supporters Evening and AGM on Wednesday the 14th of November at the Pastoral Centre on Jury Street. This year's theme is "It Takes More Than a House to Make a Home." What does it take to move someone on from homelessness? Come and find out at the Night Shelter's wide-ranging services are helping people to get their lives back on track. From help gaining employment through to counselling, cookery, through to budgeting, plus so much more. Come and hear our resident stories about how it takes more than a house to make a home. All welcome, no need to book. Doors open at 6:15. Short AGM commences 6:45. Light refreshments will be available. Last year, the Night Shelter was delighted to find out that the charity had received the prestigious Queen's Award for Voluntary Service for 2017, the equivalent of an MBE for charities, and the highest award given to volunteer groups across the UK. The award recognises the outstanding contribution that volunteers make to their local communities. Night shelter manager Michelle Price said, "It is wonderful to see our volunteers recognised for their ongoing and selfless support. Without them, we would not be able to provide our extensive service to those suffering homelessness in Hampshire. The night shelter operates with just 10, mainly part-time, paid staff. Our volunteers are the beating heart of the organisation." Founded in 1988, the night shelter began as a winter shelter occupying vacant buildings and church halls around the city. In 1997, the night shelter opened its permanent premises in Jury Street in the city centre, which has enabled the charity to provide more comprehensive, holistic range of support services to the residents. They have 17 beds on site and residents stay until more appropriate long-term accommodation can be found to suit their needs. This can range from a few months to over a year in some cases. Last year, the charity provided a safe, caring temporary home to over 100 people and helped 60 residents successfully move on to independent living. The night shelter's aim is to enable people to rebuild their lives and escape homelessness for good, providing high quality accommodation and food, a safe, caring place to stay, and specialist support to restore self-esteem, develop skills, and support people back into long-term employment, accommodation, and independent living. Their almost 24/7 service includes a wraparound one-to-one support covering aspects of housing, employment, health, well-being, personal finance, substance misuse, and other essential areas, all of which help residents rebuild their lives and social structures.
JCB used to steal cash machine at a village shop. A village convenience store, which has been targeted by burglars several times in recent years, has been left badly damaged after a JCB was used to steal the cash machine. Police were called to the Tesco Express store in Springvale Road, Kingsworthy, near Winchester, at around 4:30 a.m. on Monday, after the digger had been driven through the side of the shop. Officers say the cash machine was stolen and extensive damage was caused to the store, while large tire tracks could be seen in grass nearby and a bollard had been ripped out of the ground. Kingsworthy resident Amanda Fry added, the yellow JCB with a digger arm was left at the scene after seeing police tow it away at around 8:30 a.m. However, neighbours say they were surprised not to have heard the commotion when it took place. One resident said, last night was a very quiet night by normal standards, while a neighbour, Philip Poten, said, I was awake at 3:45 a.m. and even the dog didn't wake up. Mr. Poten said he thought the JCB had been taken from a nearby building site. A police spokesman has since confirmed we are making inquiries into the theft of a JCB telehandler from a site off Lovedean Lane, Kingsworthy, as part of our investigation. Springvale Road resident Angela Hellier said that there was no CCTV outside. They're lucky that the building is still standing. As previously reported, police launched a hunt for a robber who threatened Tesco staff with a knife before fleeing with cash in March this year. Speaking at the time, officers said a masked man entered the store shortly before 11 p.m. and threatened two workers with a large blade. A number of similar style ram raids have also been carried out across the Winchester district this year. In July, a tractor was used to rip out a cash point from the West Meon Hut petrol station on the A272 crossroads. The raid left the owner with thousands of pounds worth of damage, while a similar incident in Bishop's Waltham in February saw rubble from the Lloyds Bank strewn across the road. The Chronicle asked Hampshire Constabulary if the incidents are being linked, but a spokesman said, at this early stage of the investigation, we're not linking this incident with any other similar offences. Anyone with information should call 101 or call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Celebrating the theatre at 40. Theatre Royal Winchester held an event on November the 1st to celebrate 4 decades of being a performance venue. Life Begins at 40 was an informal gathering of the local community connected to the history of the venue, as well as stakeholders and theatre supporters, to celebrate the past 40 years, allowing old friends and colleagues to be reunited. The evening welcomed 150 guests to watch performance excerpts, including one from the Winchester Amateur Operatic Society, and a presentation from Chief Executive Derek Newland, which looked at the future of the theatre. Exhibition boards, including articles from archived newspapers demonstrating the history of the building, were put up around the venue for the event. It also featured conversation-style interviews with Phil Yates, David Harding, Richard Steele and Lady Bland, who were key figures in saving the building from demolition and buying it in trust for the community. The theatre building was originally built as the Market Hotel for the farming community, who went to the cattle market in Winchester, sited in the car park around the present Discovery Centre, but then the Corn Exchange. The hotel was converted into a theatre-cum-music hall, which opened in 1914. Odeon then turned it into a cinema, which was taken over by the Star Group. The Star Group closed the theatre in 1974 and applied for a demolition order with a view to developing it as a supermarket. A group of theatre enthusiasts then formed an action group to save the building and open it as a live performance venue. The building was reopened as the Theatre Royal on November the 1st, 1978. Since then, many memorable performances have taken place at the theatre. It closed in the late 1990s for several years before securing national lottery funding and reopening in 2001, having incorporated the two shops next door.
Villagers stepping up safety pleas at speedy crossroads. Villagers are stepping up their efforts to improve safety at a country crossroads following another crash. The chairman of Beauworth Parish Meeting in the village near Alsford fear that the junction could claim another victim soon. Neil Saunders was speaking after a two-car crash on October the 6th saw a vehicle tip over onto its roof outside the Milbury's pub. Mr Saunders was especially concerned that the white lines marking rights of way have become worn, adding to the danger. He is liaising with the new Winchester City Councillor Hugh Lumby to press the highways authorities for action. Mr Saunders said that the County Council told him there would be a Hampshire-wide programme of lining works, but no timescale could be given and there is a backlog. He said, "I expressed my extreme concern by the lack of suitable road markings. I stated that it would only be a matter of time before there is a serious accident. I reminded them of the track record of accidents." Mr Saunders contacted the council again this week, saying, "I again implored them to take action before a local person is seriously injured or killed. He urged villagers, please take extra care when approaching the crossroads. I always slow right down as I approach them and have my hand near the horn, just in case. It's quite shocking when you see a car cross without slowing at perhaps 40 miles an hour or more. And I've seen this a few times in recent years." And this is accompanied by a photograph of the recent crash, which shows a white car on its roof surrounded by debris.
Over 21,000 watch sellout 60th anniversary display. More than 21,000 people came together for the sold-out Winchester Roundtable bonfire and fireworks display on Saturday evening. A high percentage of that figure started their evening by the King Alfred statue and followed the torchlit procession up High Street, led by a marching band. The procession's torches lit up the route through the city centre before splitting up at North Wall's recreation ground. The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Frank Pearson, took to the stage shortly after 7 p.m, where he sang Happy Birthday to the Round Table event, which was celebrating its 60th anniversary. Councillor Pearson then pushed the button which sent fireworks flying into the bonfire to ignite the structure, before entertainment from the dance company Integrate and the main event, the spectacular fireworks display.
Funding precarious, annual meeting hears. A record number of people attended the annual general meeting of Citizens Advice Winchester District to hear how it helps local people in crisis and to understand how fragile the future funding of the service is. Representatives from local firms of solicitors, Winchester City Council, Hampshire County Council, other local charities, plus many volunteers from the charity attended. The main focus was to highlight the difference Citizens Advice makes to local people, with a talk from a client who'd benefited from the service and also from a volunteer advisor. The meeting also highlighted the vulnerability of its funding. The public perception is that Citizens Advice is funded by central government, but this is not the case. Chief Executive Natalie Webb said, "Like many other charities, our funding situation is vulnerable. As a local and independent charity, we rely on local funding and fundraising to support our service. We're extremely grateful that Winchester City Council sees the value in our service and supports us annually with a grant. Without Winchester City Council's support, we simply couldn't exist. Even with this, the current year is presenting a real financial challenge. That's why we're appealing to local people and businesses to support us. Whether it's a one-off donation or longer-term support, please do donate if you can. All the information about how to do so is on our website, or you can call into our offices."
Now here's a news item, something which is very dear to my heart. It's a new addition at the Brooks Centre. The Brooks Shopping Centre has welcomed a new salon, which opened its doors this week. Signature Beauty, which is part... Why are you laughing? Signature Beauty, which is part of the centre but fronts onto Middle Brook Street, launched on Monday. The salon offers a range of treatments and products, including waxing, facials and a range of nail treatments and much more. Owner Sheetal Shabra said, "We are very excited to have opened the new salon and to finally becoming part of Winchester. It's an exciting time of year to open, with Christmas just around the corner, and we hope we can bring a unique offer." Lisa Evans, Brooks office manager, said, "The Brooks have a great 2018 with the addition of TK Maxx, Energy Fitness, Winchester Coffee Roasters and now Signature Beauty. The addition of the salon provides even more diverse offerings to our shoppers and Winchester as a whole. The salon will be open between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday to Saturdays and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays."
Speech on battle over cancer. The MP for Winchester spoke in key parliamentary debates to mark Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Steve Brine, the Public Health Minister, spoke during a backbench business debate tackling breast cancer, with his speech focusing on early detection, survival rates, and his hopes for the future of treatment. The MP was formerly the chairman of the all-party group for breast cancer and said he wanted a future where there's no breast cancer. He went on to say, "Survival rates have never been higher, increasing year on year since 2010. The 10-year survival rate has gone from 40% in the 1970s to 78% today." But Mr. Brine also emphasised that huge progress in the diagnosis, treatment and support of cancer could still be achieved within the next 10 years. He said, The NHS long-term plan, with cancer right at its heart, will turbocharge all we've already achieved and are on track to achieve through our cancer strategy. But we have a lot to do. I want to see better screening uptake, less invasive treatments where that's required, and all women having access to dedicated cancer nurse specialist by 2020. NH England and I, with the support of our cancer community, are committed to making the ambitions it sets out an absolute reality.
Cautious welcome. Civic chiefs in Winchester have given a cautious welcome to expansion plans at Southampton Airport. Responding to the public consultation over its draft master plan, Winchester City Council said it was pleased in an economic sense, but had reservations over noise. A spokesman added the council would need to see infrastructure provided to accommodate the airport's growth, which would take into account the potential impact on air quality and emissions. As previously reported, the airport hopes to more than double its passenger numbers over the next decade by extending the northern end of the runway by around 170 metres, potentially enabling larger aircraft to take off and travel to a wide variety of European destinations. However, the scheme did receive an objection from Twyford Parish Council.
Inspectors praise staff at new care home in village. Staff at a new care home have been rated good in an inspection by the Care Quality Commission, that is CQC. The staff at Brendon Care Otterbourne Hill were recently transferred from Brendon Care, the old parsonage, also in Otterbourne, to work in the new specifically built care home. Brendon Care Otterbourne Hill is a dementia-friendly home, offering care for those who are affected by dementia or whose loved one is affected by the condition. The inspector observed that the staff were caring and attentive and treated residents with dignity and respect. The staff were aware of residents' preferences and routines, and care was provided to reflect this. The Commission was impressed with the close links to the local community, which helped provide support, activities and comfort to residents, as well as the influence residents had over menus and activities. Tina Mansfield, the General Manager, said the latest CQC report highlights that the team who have transferred to Brendon Care Otterbourne Hill are all committed and dedicated members of staff. I'm proud of everyone who has worked here and their determination to support each resident in the best way possible for their own individual needs.
City set to get into the festive spirit. The annual Winchester Christmas light switch-on will take place next Thursday from 4 p.m. Held in the Broadway, this year's event will be hosted by Heart Radio's Rich Clark, who will be joined by the Spitfire Sisters, Winchester Cathedral Choristers, the Pilgrim School Chamber Choir, and the Integrate Dance. Winchester BID recently hosted a Search for Local Heroes campaign to help find a Winchester star to switch on the festive lights. Entries have since closed and more than 200 nominations have been received. The winner will be announced at the event and welcomed on stage to push the button. The countdown will begin just before 6 p.m. when the local heroes will join the cast of Beauty and the Beast pantomime at the Theatre Royal. Festive market stalls will also line the high street leading down to the Broadway, where the main stage, a giant screen and Santa's sleigh will be located. As part of the festive season, Winchester BID are also working with Winchester City Council to provide free park and ride on Sundays for 6 weeks in the run-up to Christmas, starting on November the 18th. Winchester's Christmas market will also return to the cathedral grounds from November the 17th.
Rangers patrolling city centre for BID. Winchester Business Improvement District, BID, has launched a new Ranger scheme to tackle low-level crime and antisocial behaviour. The Rangers are security trained and accredited and will patrol the city centre as part of the BID's commitment to providing a safe environment. The BID has collaborated with the City Council and police, and since Thursday, November the 1st, they have been an additional security presence. They will be recognised by their dark blue uniforms displaying a Winchester BID Ranger logo. They will be part of the Radio Link scheme, which supports the Pub Watch and Shop Watch initiatives. The BID has welcomed Ryan Tench and Joshua Kenway to the team. Jane Bastock, BID Business Crime Reduction Manager, said, "We are excited to announce this scheme. The Rangers will provide a professional and reassuring presence within the city centre. They will be providing frontline customer service, handling situations as they arise and supporting the other frontline emergency services, carrying out daily patrols to help act as a deterrent, whilst becoming a welcoming and reassuring sight and presence for the public. The Rangers will take a friendly approach to deter antisocial behaviour and disorderly conduct and act as a deterrent against potential crime, as well as being a welcoming presence to residents and visitors."
Key stage at West Downs. A key milestone has been reached in the construction of Winchester University's new learning and teaching building. The traditional topping out ceremony marks the builder's Osborne reaching the highest point in the development at West Downs off Romsey Road. Vice-Chancellor Joy Carter laid the final section of the concrete on the top floor alongside Alan Titchmarsh, Chancellor of the University, and John Craig Osborne's Managing Director of Construction. Mr. Craig presented Professor Carter and Mr. Titchmarsh with an engraved trowel to commemorate the event. The ceremony ended with the cutting of a cake in the shape of the new building, generously provided by Osborne. Professor Carter said, "Just over 9 months ago, we marked the official start of construction work with a groundbreaking ceremony. It is incredibly exciting to be here today to celebrate the extraordinary progress of the building and the achievement of Osborne's fantastic construction team. When completed, the development provides an outstanding learning environment for our students and be a landmark in the city."
Christmas campaign. A children's hospice in the Winchester district has announced the start of its Christmas campaign. Following success last year, Naomi House and Jack's Place will welcome back the Big Gift Shake-Up, which allows members of the public to raise money towards experiences for the children using the service. There are four individual experience vouchers that can be purchased. The first is a £10 voucher that will provide a child or young adult with a messy play session, sensory room experience, or a swim in the hydrotherapy pool. Donating a £20 voucher will provide a family with the opportunity to spend time together, either at home or in the hospice family space with a professional care team on hand. A £50 voucher goes towards funding day trips and other activities for the children from Jack's Place to help form friendships. Buying a £100 voucher will help fund the work of the highly skilled doctors, nurses, carers, therapists and family support team at the site. Naomi House and Jack's Place spokesman Keith Wilson said, "Christmas is such a special time at Naomi House and Jack's Place, so much so that we celebrate Christmas every single day of December. We are always so grateful for the amount of toys and presents our children and young adults receive. But Christmas memories that families make together are the greatest gift of all, which is why giving a unique experience voucher this year will make a lasting difference. Thank you to everyone who supports the Big Gift Shake-Up, and Merry Christmas from everyone here at Naomi House and Jack's Place. To purchase a Big Gift Shake-Up voucher, visit the Naomi House and Jack's Place website.
Switch off backed by County Council. Plans to shut off street lighting for 3 hours a night across Hampshire have been approved. Civic chiefs say the move, which will see no lighting on residential roads between the hours of 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. every night, will save £230,000 in energy costs per year. This will come into effect from April 1st, 2019. However, it adds that street lighting in certain high crime areas will either not be turned off at all or the timings varied. It will be judged on a case-by-case basis, the council says. Street lights on roads with vertical traffic calming, such as sleeping policemen, or in the vicinity of light-controlled crossings, will also not be switched off. Illuminated roadsides and bollards are unaffected by the proposal. The decision, made on October the 29th by Transport and Environment Chief Roy Humby, will see a reduction in the authority's carbon dioxide, that's CO2, output by 720 tonnes a year, saving £12,960 in avoided carbon tax. This will also contribute to the council's objective to reduce its COT impact, it says. The authority has gradually reduced its streetlight usage over the last few years. Currently, it dims lights on residential roads by 45% from switch-on until 11:30 p.m. and 65% from then until 5:30 a.m. It's then raised back to 45% until switch-off. On major roads, this dimming is lessened to a maximum of 50% during the early hours. By the end of 2018, the council says its energy consumption will be less than half of what it was in 2010, with savings of around £2 million a year. But this new proposal will allow even more cash to be saved. This comes after 5,444 people took part in a public consultation into the plans, as well as 141 organisations, businesses and groups. From the report, it was found that more than two-thirds of respondents supported the County Council's proposal to turn streetlights off, and a dark period of between 3 and 4 hours, starting between midnight and 1 a.m, was widely supported. The council noted that almost half of the respondents said that they would prefer lights to stay on at night in town and city centres, but were most supportive of lighting being turned off in residential areas.
More hospice fundraisers planned. A charity fundraiser has generated more than £1,000 for the Winchester Hospice Appeal. The Middlemarch Fair charity event took place at the St Cross Hospital and Almshouse and raised £1,400 by selling cakes and other goods that were made in the spirit of the charity day. The total was also helped by donations from Winchester Floral Design and various other people. Organisers Judith Charmer, Maddie Thompson, Trish Spires and Doreen Jenkins have more fundraising events planned for the near future, which they hope will also help the hospice appeal. On November the 17th, they have organised a community lunch at the Hundreds Men's Hall of St Cross Hospital. It will start at 12 p.m, cost £5 a person, and guests will be served a two-course meal with wine, a hot drink or a soft drink. The tickets can be reserved by calling Doreen Jenkins on 01962 861552. That is 01962 861552. And all proceeds will go to the appeal. The second fundraiser will see the famous comedian Jack Whittle and his father Michael perform a live show at St Swithin's on December the 21st. The duo have recently released their new Netflix special, Jack Whittle Travels with My Father. This is only the live show This is the only live show that Jack will be doing for the rest of this year. Tickets are not yet on sale, but funds raised will go towards the Winchester Hospice Appeal.
Just a slight correction to this. I think that the price for the lunch on November the 17th is £15, not £5. But that's something you can clarify if you ring Doreen Jenkins on 861 552.
Sounded like a bargain.
Yes.
It did sound unusual, yes. And here's another article on raising money for good causes, and it's headed Raising Dough. Staff at Domino's pizza restaurants in Southampton, Eastleigh and Winchester have raised thousands of pounds through a fundraising week. Held in aid of the Teenage Cancer Trust, the company's been selling personal pizzas for £1 and raised £2,800. Laura Zabel, account manager at the Teenage Cancer Trust, said, "For every young person with cancer we help, there is another we can't. Domino's will be helping us to reach these young people. Thank you to the Southampton and Winchester store teams and the Southampton community for this valuable donation." According to the charity, the donation is enough to fund more than 90 hours of specialist nursing care.
Office revamp. Plans to bring a city centre office block back into use as part of Winchester's regeneration vision have taken a step forward. Architects will be sought to redevelop Coitbury House, a former NHS office built in the 1960s on Friarsgate. Winchester City Council's cabinet met to discuss the plans and received support from opposition councillors too. Lib Dem group leader Councillor Lucille Thompson said, "We are very happy to support this. It's really good to know where our it's really good to know we are not just going to let it rot and haul it down." Councillors also heard from portfolio holder for estates Councillor Steve Miller, who said the site has already had some serious inquiries, while Council leader Caroline Horrill said it becomes an opportunity to bring some funds into the broader regeneration project. According to an officer's report, once refurbished, the offices could create around 100 jobs and bring in rental income of £25 to £27 per square foot. The report adds this level of rental income would support build costs of between £2 and £2.5 million. The plans come as part of the short and medium term vision for the Silver Hill 2 scheme, officially known as the Central Winchester Regeneration. The City Council will now approach architects about the plans, with the winning firm expected to be announced at a CWR committee meeting on November the 27th.
That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors, Sue Frayn, Anne Brew, Pat Whitfield and Jane Thomas. And thanks also to our various technical teams. And thank you to our readers, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
Peter Lydiard.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.